Hello, everyone. Welcome back again to another episode of Basement Banter. This week I have Matt Blahut in again.
You.
As we discuss a little another NFL update. I'd imagine once again, since this has probably been one of the craziest NFL seasons in a while, that a lot has changed since the last time we talked as well. And a stat I think I saw this past Sunday was that this season was the fastest the fastest, like, X amount of teams have made it to 500 or X amount of wins this late in the season or something. I don't know. Something along the lines of, like, this is, like, I guess one of the tighter seasons.
The most competitive year. I mean, if you look at the one seeds and stuff, like, no, besides Arizona, like, no one's blown it away.
No, I'm looking at it right now. The win percentages are pretty stacked. The AFC West is all still within two games. The furthest one is really, you know, the standard Jaguars and Texans sucking.
And the Packers.
And then the Packers running away with it. But the wild card's looking really good. Just about every team in the NFC is still in the hunt. And same thing with the AFC without the, you know, the usual suspects, as I just mentioned. But we could start with the AFC East, because that honestly is one of the more shocking things to me. I remember in the beginning of the season, I said that the Patriots were going to be probably really good defensively, but I didn't think that they were going to be, you know, number one seed in the AFC this year so far, and it's because their defense has been stacked as I predicted. But also Mac Jones, you know, he had a couple weeks to get used to the pace of the NFL, and now he's been off and running.
Yeah, and it's not like they started off fast either. They started off pretty slow, played some tough teams, and Miami, who I guess now is okay. But he, ever since really what the Cowboys game, he's really just been on a roll. And I mean, it's not always like he's been asked to do a lot. Look at this past week, for example, where he threw the ball three times and they just ground and pound. I think they found an identity of their offense where they can run over any team. But then if they need Mac Jones to air it out, they can do that as well. The Cowboy game is a perfect example. I mean, they ended up losing the game, but he was throwing some bombs there that I mean, the one to, I believe, Kendrick Bourne to tie the game was a deep pass that the previous quarterback's couldn't do, like Cam Newton. So it just opens another dimension of their offense that you have to pay attention to. And then obviously the defense is back better than ever.
And then, yeah, they spent the most that they've spent in X amount of years. This was $160 million guaranteed money this offseason.
Yeah.
So they
if you look at what they spent that money on, too, that was a lot of offensive pieces they probably overpaid for everyone, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's just like the Bill Belichick and the Patriots are doing like the opposite of what everyone else is doing. Everyone's trying to get some DB or some big-time wide receiver like Kenny Golladay. And Bill's just like, you know what? I got some good running backs. Let me get some tight ends who can block and catch some passes. Let me get Aguilar, who's not the most sexy wide receiver name. And honestly, he hasn't done much. But those are the guys he went out and got. And I think the tight ends have made a huge difference. I think Hunter Henry had a touchdown in, like, what, six straight games or something at some point?
So then
with that run-style offense, now you throw in the two tight ends. Like, they're just grinding and pounding.
And there's, once again, like you said, there's no one really in the whole offense, there's no one really that's like, oh yeah, playmaker, this guy's a game changer. You know, they have a running back committee in the back, or run by committee, whatever, in the backfield, and it opens up for all of these guys who, as you said again, are not names that pop off the paper, but they just are, you know, in the right spots, making the right plays, and the play calling is perfect. You can make the defense have to make decisions on who they're going to commit to, and then it just opens up other stuff. It almost plays into their favor, because it isn't like going into the game, you're like, all right, we're going to lock in, you know, on the Bills, we're going to lock in on Stephon Diggs and then contain Josh Allen from scrambling.
Yeah.
Now you have to focus on everything, because now it isn't, you know, a team with a guy who's really good. It's just a well-coached team. And, you know, when we get to the AFC South, that's something that you saw with the Texans, or the Titans, I mean. They went from looking like they were just going to take off and be the number one seed of the AFC and no one could stop them, then now they lost two games in a row. They seem a little lost without Derrick Henry. So it's a big difference in teams. And another team that has been very underwhelming this year is the Bills. Granted, they're 7-5, and they just lost a tough game where it was a freak weather. But everyone thought that they were going to be a clear-cut title contender going into this season. And, their defense has been pretty good, but their offense hasn't been as productive, or let me not say productive, not as consistent as I thought they were going to be like they were last year. I don't know. And the Patriots also, again, I did not anticipate them to be the way that they were this season.
Yeah, I don't think anyone saw that coming. I mean, you touched on the Titans. I think they definitely got derailed when Derrick Henry got hurt, especially on top of that, then A.J. Brown's hurt. Julio Jones, unsurprisingly, is hurt. So now they have no wide receivers and their best players out. Their defense, I feel like, has stepped up a bit and played better, even though they've been injured a bunch. And they've done well for what they have, and it's just the offense has kind of been slacking in some cases. I think the biggest surprise is probably the Bills. I thought they were going to be a much better team, and their defense has played well, and now they lost Tre'Davious White, so that sucks for them. But their defense has had issues stopping the run, which we saw Monday Night Football. We've seen against Jonathan Taylor and the Colts. And then their offense just never seems to be like 100% clicking like it was in last year. It's just been a tough year for the Bills. And I don't know. I mean, they might not make the playoffs.
No. And I don't know. And they also just paid Josh Allen, last year they shelled out all that money for him, too?
I think so, yeah.
And not that it's his fault that they've been underperforming, but last year he was just making all these plays and had a lot more on it for his highlight reel than he has this season so far. It's been a weird season, like we said before, where teams will be terrible and all of a sudden beat one of the best teams in the NFL beat one of the best teams in the NFL and completely choke it amongst just a ton of also injuries, which has been, I feel like, weirdly up in the past few years. I feel like we've been seeing a lot more star players getting hurt for longer durations the past few years. But I don't know. I just thought the Bills were going to be much better. I thought that this was theirs for the taking this year.
Them in Kansas City, obviously.
Yeah. But I'm saying in the AFC East.
Oh,
again,
definitely.
The Patriots are still trying to figure it out with their quarterback. Dolphins last year were okay, but Tua, doesn't really make any eye-popping plays throughout the game. And then the Jets are the Jets, but, underwhelming. And then speaking of the Dolphins again, kind of where they were last year, and, they're 6-7 right now. They're on a 5-game win streak. But I don't know. They've only scored 254 points. And their defense isn't as good as, for someone who's a defensive-minded head coach, their defense really hasn't been that great. The only other team in their division that has let up more points is obviously the Jets. Granted, two of the best defenses, probably number one and number two in the NFL, or, top five at least, are in their division as well. But I don't know. You think if you're Brian Flores, you get to the end of the season and you finish 500, you think that you might start considering going for another quarterback, or you think that this is something beyond just Tua?
No, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just Tua, and, what are they going to – I guess it depends who falls to them in the draft, but I don't think they're going to go quarterback. I know they're always rumored to Deshaun Watson and really anyone that comes up as a quarterback, but, I mean, it's tough. Their defense was really bad early on in the season. They had a handful of injuries, and then some games they just flat out weren't good, and it wasn't Tua's fault. I mean, they should have won – if you look at all the games they lost, they gave up 45 to Tampa, 27 to the Colts, lost an OT, gave up 31 to Vegas. So they're losing to good teams and giving up a lot of points. So it's tough for Tua to come back for all those games. And it also hurt that some of those games were Jacoby Brissett in. And that just hurts everyone because obviously he's not moving the chain. So the defense is out there a lot. He had to play, I think, a 4-game stretch early on in the season after Tua got hurt. But now they're making a run. I mean, I was surprised that they beat Baltimore on that Thursday night football game. But other than that, they've had a pretty cupcake schedule, and it looks like it's going to continue until their last two games. So they have a real legitimate shot to make the playoffs. They play the Jets, I believe, after their bye, so they should take care of business there. And then they go to New Orleans, which is having a down year, to say the least. So they can go in 8-7 going into Tennessee. Derrick Henry's still not there. That's another winnable football game. And then it all comes down to them versus the Patriots last week of the year.
Who they beat already.
Who they did beat. So obviously they're a bit different team now, but they are hosting them. So that's going to be a great game. I think they have a legitimate shot to make the playoffs, but you have to see what else the rest of the AFC is doing. And right now it's very competitive for those last three wild card spots.
And then the Jets obviously are the Jets. The one thing that I will say is that as bad as they are, they look much more – it looks like there's a lot more, you know, going on at the Jets opposed to the when they had Adam Gase there, which was just a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
It looks like there's some pulse. They have some nice pieces on offense. I don't know how Zach Wilson's going to be the quarterback parade for them. Continues to go on, and I don't really know if I'm convinced with anyone so far. Granted, you know, he's been hurt, and the Jets don't really have an offensive line. They lost Becton early, and I don't know. I think that they have a lot of different pieces, and they look like they actually have something going on there. There's a lot that they still need to get in the offseason, starting with the offensive line, but you know, they're more convincing than they have been in years past, especially the past couple of years when Adam Gase was there.
Yeah, it actually looks like they're building something.
And they have a coach with character opposed to Adam Gase, who was like, you know, just the biggest stiff alive.
Disaster.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't need it to go into detail with the Jets. It's just that, you know, they still have a lot of work to do.
And they at least they have their pick, which looks like it's going to be pretty good. And then they also have Seattle's, which might end up being pretty well also.
Yeah, as I said, the Seattle, you know, thought they were going for that Super Bowl push only to end up giving their pick they desperately need now to the Jets. And the Jets are pumped too because, you know, they need a lot more than a safety who's pretty good. But then in the AFC West, tight as hell. Was this time, I know for a fact the last time that I talked about football, the Chiefs were in the bottom of the division. Now they're at the top. Granted, it isn't like, you know, they're running away with it. They actually look like the Chiefs again.
Yeah.
A lot of... Well, the problem
do is, they, though?
I mean...
I feel like their defense looks really good. Their offense still looks suspect, man, to me.
Right. But I mean, when the last time I talked about it, their defense was just, you know, I don't know how to explain.
Their
defense was a dumpster fire the first few games, like the first what, like 5 weeks, first 6 weeks. I'm surprised that Steve Spagnuolo kept his job after how bad they were playing. And on top of that, like you said, granted, the offense is not putting up 50 points a game like they were last year. But they're scoring touchdowns now. And, you know, we were on a 5-game win streak, and I was just watching the game last week. And a lot of the issues, you know, Patrick Mahomes with the interceptions, whatever, a lot of them are not his fault. They're hitting, and this last week was an example. It literally hit Tyreek Hill in the hands, and it bounced to the defender. And that was another interception. They're in a really tough division, and the Chargers, who are right beneath them, nipping at their heels. Looks like they actually figure it out. I've been, you know, listening to sports radio and watching whatever Sports Center and everything, and just like the games and everything. They were talking about how the Chargers offensive coordinator came from the Saints, and they were everyone like whenever the I was watching
who's
people,
that Joe Lombardi?
Yeah, I was watching people talk about the Chargers offensive play calling. A lot of people were complaining because he was still calling the offense as if they had Drew Brees at the end of his career opposed to actually seeing
letting
that
air it out.
Yeah, you have a quarterback who could actually air it out. You know, a few weeks ago when he was playing against the Steelers, he threw for what, like 380 something yards and God knows how many touchdowns. So this past week he looked like they actually were utilizing that again. Granted, the Bengals imploded. I don't know what happened there, but you know, it's a solid division. The problem is which, why I think that the Chiefs are going to end up winning is their defense is clicking now, and every other defense in this division is kind of scratching their head. The Broncos is defense is solid. Their offense is not solid. And the Broncos for the past, I think, like 4 years have just – I've been saying it probably. You could go back and listen to a podcast of me talking about the NFL when I first started recording this show. It's the same thing. They get in these games where they actually have a chance to win, and they are on the wrong side of it. But, you know, same thing with the Raiders. The Raiders is a shame of a story because the Raiders looked really hot going into, you know, week five or whatever.
Yeah.
And ever since, they had controversy after controversy. Henry Ruggs, and then a couple days later was the kid Arnett.
And before that, Gruden. So,
Gruden.
Yeah.
And
it's just been a mess.
And it's been a mess, and it's a shame because then you completely take away from how good of a season Max Crosby's having, and you have Darren Waller who's hurt. And it stinks because like it was just like the emergency brake was ripped on their season. And you know, now they truly are, I think, a 500 team. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And it sucks. I think that the Chargers and Chiefs do deserve to make the playoffs if there was teams in that division. But that's been the one of the more fun divisions to watch in the NFL.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I mean, it's been highly competitive, but I feel like Vegas does this all the time where they start hot, fizzle out. Now they just have a lot more excuses to fizzle out between losing players on the field, losing their head coach. Like, it's just been a nightmare. It's pretty crazy that they're still 6-6, to be honest. I do think the Chargers are a good team, but, I mean, sometimes they just don't play well. And I don't know what it is. They'll play a great game against the Steelers, almost choke that away, which was crazy. And then they'll get absolutely bullied by Denver. And then they'll completely bully the Bengals, which they almost blew that game as well. They were up, what, like 25-0 and then, or 24-0, and Bengals brought it within two and then fumbled, Mixon fumbled, which was returned for a touchdown, and then the game was over at that point. But that's a huge win for the Chargers, too. Obviously, a tiebreaker for a potential playoff spot. And I think the division is very much in play for the Chargers still. Both the Chargers and the Chiefs have to play three more divisional games, one against each other, too. And the Chargers already hold that tiebreaker. So if they can sweep the Chiefs, that would go a long way in winning the division. They do have some COVID issues, though, that they're dealing with. So, I mean, this week and even next week, possibly, they might not have any wide receivers. So that's going to be obviously a huge issue. And we've seen it. It's very difficult. I mean, the Cowboys couldn't win without receivers. The Tennessee couldn't beat the Jets without receivers. It's very difficult to beat anyone in the NFL when you just have a whole group of players depleted, whether it's receivers, running backs, DBs. If you just don't have them and you have to bring on second strings, it's a disaster. But, yeah, Chargers would definitely be my team to look out for. I mean, obviously, they're playing well, but they can make a huge run and eventually end up at 11-6 or something, win the division, be the 2 seed even, because the AFC is highly competitive right now.
Yeah, and the other, once again, is highly competitive. The next division I was going to talk about is the AFC North, which the Chargers and Chiefs are going to be competing with to get into those spots. Ravens hold a tiebreaker over the Chiefs. The Chargers hold a tiebreaker over the Bengals. The Chargers also hold it over the Steelers. The Steelers, you know, it's a very gritty, very gritty division, the AFC North. The Ravens I wrote off in the beginning of the season. I didn't think the Ravens had a prayer with all the people they lost. And they still, throughout the season, every time I talk about the Ravens on this show, they have lost another person. And now we have the Marlon Humphrey, who's an all-pro cornerback, is now not in for the, or whatever, is done for the rest of the season. I have to give them a lot of props. I almost would love to give John Harbaugh the coach of the year because of how they are still 8-4 and all the people that they lost before the season even started, and they're somehow still winning games. I guess I'd give a lot of that to Lamar Jackson and his playmaking ability, keeping plays alive. He's also shot them in the foot a little bit the past couple weeks. Threw four interceptions against the Browns. He threw another interception in the end zone against the Steelers, trying to force something in the beginning of the game instead of just taking the points, which, you know, at the end of the game, they ended up losing by 1 point, and, you know, that could have been the difference, but the turnovers is
a big issue. Yeah, I was going to say, Lamar, Baltimore's played well, and obviously they had a good start to, or, yeah, pretty much a good start except for week one, but Lamar has, I feel like, I don't know the stats, but I feel like he has been turning it over a lot more and throwing a lot more interceptions than usual.
In week one, he got strip sacked.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was basically the icer for that game as well. He has been turning over the ball a lot, and you know, as much as I would love to just sit there and like criticize him the whole time, he's been the reason they've also won a lot of games. But it is just a shame. I think that, I don't know what it's been the past couple of weeks. He hasn't really, seems like he's been, I don't know what's the word, forcing things, whether it's passes, forcing a pass too early, throwing a pass too late. There's a couple throws throughout that game that were touchdowns, or the 2-point conversion at the end. He mistimed his throw, and it just, you know, those couple seconds in the NFL is a big difference. The other team, the Bengals, too. The Bengals have had a very up and down season.
Yeah.
The Bengals in the beginning of the season looked like they were going to be, you know, a top four seed in the AFC, and now they're trying to secure a chance to get into the playoffs. Joe Burrow got hurt last game. He dislocated his pinky. Jamar Chase had maybe one of the worst. It wasn't even.
Drops.
It's going to be credited to Joe Burrow as an interception. I have him on my fantasy team, and I wanted to like jam a fork in my eye after watching that.
Yeah. I mean, that was a tough game for them. Like I said, it was for tiebreaker potential, and they had that drop, which I forgot, where Jamar Chase basically dropped a touchdown and handed it off to the DB on the Chargers for an interception. And then obviously they had the fumble that was returned to the house. So that was a tough loss for them. We obviously know about the Jets game, but they're still hanging in there. They bullied the Steelers, which is important. They bullied the Ravens. They've already swept the season series with the Steelers, so that's huge for tiebreaker. And not just tiebreaker against the Steelers, but if they do get into a tie with Baltimore for the division, it comes down to division record first. So they're very much in the divisional race. They do have some tough games coming up, but all winnable games on their schedule, and then one at the Browns at the end of the year. So it could come down to that game for a wild card or the division title. It's going to be a wacky couple weeks, because I feel like Baltimore is obvious. They're out in front, but their defense has a tremendous amount of injuries now. They might be getting an O-lineman back. But the thing that made Baltimore so good in years past was their ability to run the ball. They had that huge 100-yard rushing streak that was broken earlier this year, which controlled the tempo, controlled the pace of the game, allowed their defense to get off the field. And now I feel like they're unable to do it, and you see Lamar pressing. He actually has more interceptions this year so far than all of last year. He has 13 this year. He had 9 last year. So you can just tell in the stats that he's pressing more than ever. His QBR is down. All of his passer rating and stats are down year over year. So he's going to have to put a lot more on his shoulders, and I think it's going to be tough here, tough sledding for the rest of the season.
And if they lose against the Browns next week, then they're going to be, you know, right there. It's going to be – every team's going to basically be even in the division. So, you know, just as easily as I could say the Browns are having a very bad season, they could end up winning the division in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you know the Browns are going to be ready coming off a bye, and prior to that coming off a tough loss to Baltimore. Now they're all at least more healed up than they were going into that game. So they're going to be fighting for their life in the division and the wild card. So you know they're going to – it's a huge game for them, so they're going to get the best effort.
They're one of the most confusing teams in the NFL. You know, going into the season, even though we were having a big argument about it before we started the episode, I do recall everyone talking about how the Browns were one of the most loaded rosters in the NFL, this and that. Oh, you know, Super Bowl maybe. And now here we are. I'm looking at them right now on my phone at the bottom of their division. Granted, it's only a matter of two games difference, but they have been one of the more inconsistent teams in the NFL this season. I can't credit a team for being consistent at all, Even the Patriots, who are the number one seed in the division, started out terrible in the beginning of the season, now are great. And then, you know, the Titans were great in the beginning of the season, now they're starting to slide a little bit. The Colts were terrible, now they're picking it up. It's all inconsistent, but the Browns, the difference in productivity in their games is like night and day. I wouldn't put it solely on Baker Mayfield. But at the same time, you know, they have, you know, they have the offensive weapons. They have two of the better running backs in the NFL on their in their backfield. I know they were hurt.
Yeah,
but
I was even then,
D'Ernest Johnson stepped up. And he's been just as good as them as well. So, you know, the run game is there. They just need to complete these passes. And once again, I'm not going to hop on the, you know, the big bandwagon, the hate on Baker Mayfield, because, you know, he was a just a winner in college. So, it, you know, it isn't like he's just some scrub. He was a winner in a pretty tough one of the Power Five conferences. It isn't like he was some guy that came from the Mountain West or something. He was a competitor, and he was in the college football playoffs and everything. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting it together. It's just been weirdly inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, he's been banged up all year with a messed up non-throwing shoulder. So that's been tough for him. But, I mean, it really is. When you look at this team and if they're going to make a playoff run, it's up to him, really. I mean, they have the running backs and the running game. Their O-line's a bit banged up. But the defense has been playing stellar the last couple of weeks. So that defense is ready to win now. It's up to Baker whether they actually do or not, because they need to score some points. I mean, I think they lost last week 16-10. Against the Ravens, and then against Detroit they won 13-10. So it's like defense is doing its part. Is Baker going to do it his? And we're about to find out. I think it's going to be a huge week for the Browns. I think they do win this game, and it's going to have to go to Jarvis Landry and company to really enforce that, because you know the Ravens are going to stop the run. That's how you play the Browns.
And Donovan Peoples-Jones has actually been stepping up and making plays. I wasn't expecting him. You know, when Odell left, not that Odell was, I don't know, breaking every record in the NFL, but receiving for the Browns, he's still a big playmaker.
Yeah.
And it was weird that it didn't work there with him. I certainly did not think that Donovan Peoples-Jones was going to be the guy that all of a sudden was going to step up and make some plays for them. But he's been doing pretty well. And Kevin Stefanski is a very good coach. So I think that they could make a run at the end of the season. And, I would say maybe a make or break game is this week. Because if they lose, then the Baltimore goes up. What, three games, and they have and they swept them, so they're not going to be able to get past them if the Ravens keep sliding down, and they have, you know, I don't know what their division record is this year, but I can't imagine it's very good, so we'll see. And then the Steelers, you know, I don't need to get into them too much. The Steelers, they might get in the playoffs. I don't really think they deserve to be a playoff team.
Yeah, they're kind of just hanging around.
They're just hanging around. Their defense hasn't been, you know, over the moon. They have a couple of good defensive. They have, like, some decent pieces on their defense. Offense is gross. You know, it's like, you know, Big Ben's like a dead man walking.
Yeah.
They're just kind of floating around. They might make the playoffs. I don't think they particularly would do anything too crazy in the playoffs anyway. So really the three teams in that division are the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns, who could potentially either not make the playoffs at all or do something exciting if they get into the playoffs and are, you know, what's the word? Like on a hot streak or something.
Yeah.
And then the last team or the last division, the AFC, is the AFC South. As it is basically every year, it's between two teams. This year, the past few years have been the Titans and Colts. The Titans are 8-4, but the past couple weeks they haven't been an 8-4 team, and they're one of the most confusing teams in the NFL, because there's games where they beat some of the best teams. They beat the Bills in that crazy game that came down to Josh Allen slipping at the end. They also lost to the Jets, and I believe they lost to the Jaguars was the other
Texans.
Really bad. And then the Texans they lost to. So I can't really get a read on this team. They're on a two-game losing streak. They haven't been the same team by any stretch of the imagination since Derrick Henry went down with that injury. I think the next time he'd be able to come back is during the playoffs if they make it.
And I think he is. I think he's going to come back. Obviously, getting a first-round bye would be huge, but the way the Patriots have been playing, looks like they're going to lock that up soon. And the way the Titans have been trending down obviously hurts that as well. So I think if they were able to get that one seed, it would be huge. And there's still a possibility, but I just don't think it's going to happen. They're lucky, though, that they played the Colts twice in the beginning of the year with Derrick Henry and being fully healthy, because that team's red hot, and now they have the tiebreaker, luckily. So they're essentially three games ahead of the Colts.
And I was also going to say that I just went to check and see if they were going to play the Colts one more time. I forgot they played them earlier in the year. And on top of that, the Colts, even though they're, I was going to say they're one of the better teams in the NFL the past few weeks, they also choked a lot in the beginning of the season. Disgustingly bad choking. Yeah. Now they have to play the Patriots, who are probably the best team in the NFL right now. And then after that, they have to play the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are one of the best teams in the NFL, and they're starting to get healthy again. And then they play the Raiders and Jaguars at the end of the year. But at that point, it might not even matter. So,
I think you need 10 wins to make the playoffs, and even then, you might not. So they're going to be in a tough spot. They're going to have to steal a game somewhere.
And I think there's about a 0% chance they beat the Patriots. Because, you know, the thing is Carson Wentz is not good with the ball.
When it's on him.
He gives away the ball a lot in high-pressure situations. So at that point, with a coach like Bill Belichick, who's one of the best coaches, if not the best coach of all time in the NFL, all he has to worry about is Jonathan Taylor, and their defense is more than up to the task for handling him. So we'll see how that goes. But it's a shame, because they really have been putting it together, and there's a couple games, if you look back on, that they shouldn't have lost.
The Buccaneers game of recent.
Ravens game.
The Ravens game was absurd choke job. Even the Titans game, they lost in overtime the second time around. So, it's been some tough sledding for some closing out some of these games, which might be a good thing if they're behind against the Patriots and have to play catch-up. It's tough, though, when you play Bill Belichick, because you know how his defensive philosophy is take away the thing you do best, and if you beat him in the other way, so be it. But you know they're going to try and take away the run, and I don't know if you want the game to be on Carson Wentz's arm against this Patriots defense. But, I mean, they've been playing great ball. They got an extra week to prepare, so it's definitely a huge game if they can steal that one.
Right, and then I'm not going to even waste your time talking about the Texans and Jaguars.
They're
terrible teams.
They're just dumpster fire.
Completely lost. Who knows if Urban Meyer is even going to be there come the end of the season, whether it's the organization's decision or his own going to somewhere in college football.
Yeah.
Than the Texans are. I don't even know why they even decided to put a franchise there. It's a terrible, terrible organization. It just never seems to get it right. But we'll fly over to the other side of the NFL here. We'll go with the NFC East. And, you know, this one, the Cowboys, a team of, you know, everyone likes to talk, the conversation on ESPN. That's the conversation on ESPN every week is the Cowboys. Whether it's the one week.
Even if they have a bye week, they're still going to talk about it. Because it's the only thing for ratings. They just keep talking about
it. The one week you'll have it. Oh, are the Cowboys the team to beat in the NFL? And then the very next week.
It's off.
Oh, my God. Is it time to completely scrap everything in Dallas? The Cowboys have a very good team. It is now transitioned from when Dak and Zeke were rookies, where they were the best, you know, craziest run offense in the NFL. And now the load has been put more on Dak's shoulders, and Zeke hasn't really been contributing all that much the past two seasons after he got the bag. But I personally think that the Cowboys are a very good team. Do I think that they could go and beat the Cardinals, Rams, or Buccaneers? Not necessarily. I know they played the Buccaneers very well in the beginning of the season. I don't know. I think that they have a lot of good playmakers on offense. Not really convinced with their defense. I know they have a lot of, Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
Has all those interceptions. It isn't like he's been like a ball hawk like Darrell Revis. Some of the throws have been pretty bad throws that he's just been lucky to be on the side of the field for. I don't know. I think it really depends, because there's games where I watch the Cowboys and I'm like, wow, they're really clicking now. And then there's games where you watch them and they're getting completely blown out by a subpar team and I'm like, what am I watching here?
Yeah.
It's really confusing. It's kind of been the theme of every division we've talked about, at least one team. And on top of that, they have a very big game this weekend against the football team, who are weirdly one of the hottest teams in the NFL.
I know.
And I think that the football team have something that the Cowboys don't necessarily have, and that is a coach with a lot of character and the ability to kind of glue guys together on a team. I'm not necessarily convinced on Mike McCarthy. Doesn't seem like a guy who could really rally a locker room. Whereas every time you watch the football team with some highlights of them in their locker room after the game or before the game, I feel like Ron Rivera has a very clear vision, has a clear culture. Like, there's a very clear culture wherever he goes. Yeah. How he expects the players and
he's definitely a player's coach.
And you know, their defense is awesome now. Granted, they lost Chase Young, and I think someone else this past week. I feel like I saw
they lost offense. Logan Thomas on offense.
Oh yeah, he's done for the season, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there was someone else on defense. Maybe that's the Eagles. Montez Sweat.
No, he's on them, but he just has COVID. Or he might not even have COVID. He might just be a close contact.
But, you know, those two teams, granted, do I think the Washington football team would beat any? They almost beat the Buccaneers, shockingly, last year, but
they beat them this year.
I know, but yeah. I'm saying, are they a team that I think is like a world beater? I think the Cowboys are a better actual team, but just as a collect right now, I don't know. I might have to put some money on the football team here this next week against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about the Cowboys, their defense is playing much better than I thought, and they've been missing a lot of pieces. Lawrence finally came back last week. Gregory's been out for the last like month and maybe an extra week. He just got activated off the IR, so they're hoping to get him back in the next couple weeks. So that's some big-time pass rushers they're getting back in the lineup. That they've been playing great without. The thing that scares me the most is Dak, since his calf injury against the Patriots, he really hasn't been the same. He missed the game against the Vikings, and then they just looked terrible against Denver. Looked great against Atlanta, but like, who doesn't? And I just feel like the offense since that calf injury hasn't been clicking. And Tony Pollard's played great. I don't understand why they don't play him more than Zeke, especially with Zeke being hobbled and injured, which I assume if we win this week, if the Cowboys beat the football team, they're probably going to rest Zeke against the Giants, because that game just doesn't mean as much, win or lose. Plus, Pollard's great, so I don't know why they just don't play him more. It's going to be interesting to see, though, if the offense can step it up. Like you said, the football team, even though they're missing a few pieces on defense, they've played much better even without them. So it's going to be a good test for them to see where they're at. And if they lose the game, I mean, Washington's right in the mix. I've never seen anything quite – well, first we got Washington, Giants, Washington, the Cowboys do. So the division's probably going to be wrapped up in those 3 weeks. But I've never seen anything like the Washington football team's schedule, where they have to end the season 5 straight divisional games. I don't think I've ever seen that in my life.
I don't think I've
like
seen
usually
that
you get like 2 games and then you have the one at the end of the year versus a division rival. Every single game they have Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. So they have a chance right here to win the division. Definitely a great chance to make the playoffs with the last wild card in the NFC. Coming down to probably them, Philly. Philly's going to be right there. So they have a chance directly to just beat up on Philly and move up ahead of them and stay up ahead of them. And the Vikings choking obviously helps them out. So I think Taylor Heinicke and the boys are going to be right in the mix of things. But, like, I don't think that they win the division. I think they end up like 9-8 or something like that, and definitely have the ability to make a run in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen them at their peak. They beat up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the full four quarters. It wasn't even a game. And they played them tough last year in Heineke's first ever start, I believe. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pull together and how they finish out this season. Do I think they beat the Cowboys this week? No. I think Dan Quinn's going to have a good scheme up and ready defensively for Heineke. And, I mean, the guy makes plays, and he's able to finesse, so we'll see if he can. But I just think the Cowboys' defense is going to be too much. And if their offense just does a little bit, I think they'll have a good chance. Obviously, if Dak and company are turning it over, forget about it. But it's going to be a great game, and this will go a long way to deciding who wins the NFC East.
Yeah, and I like
good to see the NFC East being competitive again, though, too.
Yeah, it is. And even the Giants, you know, they haven't made it easy, really. And granted, they didn't play well at all against the Cowboys.
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, but Freddie Kitchens, yeah. They played terrible against the fucking Dolphins, too. Granted, they didn't have Danny Dimes. They had Mike Glennon, but... I think it's, you know, wide open at the top. I think it's really a two-horse race. I'm not convinced by the Eagles at all.
They're hanging in there, but... The loss against the Giants was just a gut punch. Because they were making a real run there, and that just set them back.
The difference is that the Washington's on a four-game win. They're both of the same level, I think, Washington and the Eagles. The difference is I think the coaching's better at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bit more, a few more playmakers, and they're red hot right now, whereas the Eagles lost to the Giants 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that killed it, man, because they would have had four in a row, too.
And I'm not convinced their two meetings with the football team are going to go well at all. So we'll see. And then the Giants, you know, got to go back to the chalkboard again. Unsurprisingly, get someone who won't run a negative 2 yard swing pass on 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
For the love of God.
I can't believe they went from Jason Garrett to Freddie Kitchens. I didn't know they had them both on their staff. Like, what a
prank.
But
Freddie Kitchens was a good offensive coordinator. It just
for like
wasn't
a minute, and then.
Yeah.
But then their offense, that's when the Browns, everyone said they were going to win the Super Bowl because they went on, not win the Super Bowl, but make a real good run because they won a bunch of games in a row
at the end
when
of the
Freddie
season,
Kitchens
yeah.
took over. And then the next year, they have OBJ, they were stacked, they're ready to go, and they're just a dumpster fire. And that kind of ruined Freddie's rep. And it doesn't look like they've done too much on offense since he's taken over. I mean, would they
Saquon
obviously
Barkley hasn't been good at all.
You had Mike Glennon, so all right. But against the Eagles, they had Dimes, right? And they could barely cross midfield.
What it all boils down to, every tale is old as time, and it's the problem with every team at the bottom of every division in the NFL. If you do not have an O-line, it may not be the sexiest thing. It may not be the thing that gets fans into the stadium. If you do not have an offensive line, all of these shiny pieces that you get for your teams will not do anything at all if you cannot throw the ball because you have defenders in your face after 2 seconds and if you cannot run the ball because there's no holes there. So that's the problem with the Giants. The Giants refuse to be of this century with their coordinators, with their head coach, with their GM. Everyone in that organization is living like it is still like the 90s in that organization.
Well, I don't know how you watched 10 years of Jason Garrett and said, we need this guy on my staff.
You watch.
Like, they was in the division, too. It's like he never did anything special.
You watch a matchup between the Rams and 49ers, you will see where the NFL is going. You watch the Giants play, and you're like watching, you know, the. Like
2000s,
the NFL like, Network's like film room, like,
yeah,
from like the 2000 New York Giants. It's the same thing, and if you will not adapt, then you're gonna still be at the bottom of the conference or division year after year. You'll get those number one picks, and you'll pick the dumbest person as usual because you have a terrible GM. And we'll be back here 10 years from now talking about how the Giants still suck.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I hope so.
Um, NFC West, maybe the most shocking thing still is that the Cardinals are 10-2. I believe the one loss was against the Panthers, who I made a lot of money on. I made like almost $600.
Oh, yeah, with Colt McCoy.
With Colt McCoy doing me a big favor. Cam Newton's big return to Carolina. The Cardinals are a extremely good football team. They, you know, I don't know, just a lot of, you know, Kyler Murray's just a great playmaker. They have one of the best receivers in the NFL, if not the best receiver in the NFL, and DeAndre Hopkins. A.J. Green has been good with his little cameos. It's good that, you know, the past couple of years he's been expected to do stuff on the Bengals and was hurt. He's been good in his little cameo spots on the Cardinals. James Conner, I was completely wrong about on the Cardinals. I thought that, you know, he wasn't that great at all. Granted, it isn't like he's having 100-something yards a game rushing, but he makes the plays when they need him. Offer enough to that they could open up the field for Kyler Murray. And their defense is pretty good this year, which I'm shocked about. I thought it was just going to be them outscoring people. They've only let up 224 points this year, which is better than the Rams. And the Rams, you know, the Cardinals don't necessarily have, with the exception of maybe like Buda Baker, there's no one, and Chandler Jones, there's no one really, but even then they're kind of really underrated.
I mean Buda Baker got paid, so, and Chandler Jones wants to get paid, so yeah, this might be his last year in
uniform. He should get paid, but you know, it isn't like they necessarily have these blockbuster guys that every little kid knows. If you look at the stat sheets, they make the big plays, but on paper they aren't these Hollywood blockbuster signings. Ironically, Hollywood blockbuster. When you have Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and all these guys over there on the Rams in their own division, and they are playing better than those teams in their division. Even the 49ers have had one of the better defenses in the NFL over the past few years, and they, you know, they still are a very good defense, but compared to the Cardinals, it's surprising. They're a team though that I see going into the playoffs, the number one seed. Oh wow, they have that week off, the first round bye, sitting on their laurels while you have a team like the Packers or someone the week before having to fight it out, or the Buccaneers or someone, and then you go in, they get run over the next game. I think that would come down to just head coaching. You know, I think Bruce Arians would be much better getting a team prepared off of a 1 week bye than...
Nah, their coach isn't Bruce Arians anymore, though.
I'm saying Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers, seed, I think they would be much more suited coming off of the first week bye than Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
coming off.
I mean, it's tough too to be a team that good for the first time, really, in a long time. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the bye if they close out the season. But I also think J.J. Watt's going to try and give it a go too. You know how he always gets hurt and then tries to come back. So I think he'll be back. That'll be a nice piece to get back if they're able to secure a bye. And they've really been a strong team throughout the year. The only question is, can Kyler Murray stay healthy? If he's able to do that, that team's going to be ready to roll come playoff time.
I think if Kyler Murray...
I think the Rams might be a bit of a fraud team. But
I think so, too.
Yeah. Their defense isn't deep. That's the thing. They have a lot of good names. They have some pass rushers, not a lot. They just have Aaron Donald, maybe Robert Quinn. Ramsey's there, but I think their defense is suspect, and if they get one injury on defense, man, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And then Stafford's been up and down.
I was going to say that they're like an NFL, like a Madden Ultimate Team,
yeah,
thing where like you could go, you know, flash it around. Ooh, I have Von Miller on my team. I have Odell Beckham Jr. Odell had a touchdown last week. I think he had one the week before too. Which is an extremely hot take. I would say, in my opinion, you might agree with me anyway, which I think you will. I don't necessarily love Odell Beckham Jr. It worked out now that Robert Woods is hurt. I didn't necessarily think that they needed Odell Beckham Jr. or wanted someone who has had such
baggage,
has had such a bad rap over the past two places he's been, bad mouthing Eli Manning, who really helped him to have a career to begin with. And then the whole thing with Baker Mayfield at the end, granted that a lot of it was his dad, but I'm sure his dad, it wasn't just his dad.
Yeah, it was weird.
It wasn't like his dad just woke up one morning and goes, you know what, screw it, fuck Baker Mayfield. I'm sure there was a lot of bad mouthing on his part as well. And to Kevin Stefanski said that Odell wasn't part of the team before he even was officially traded. So
Yeah, that just set him out. Team, that was just odd.
And especially for a team like the Rams, like you said, that have been very inconsistent this year, where they'll look great for a three-game stretch and then all of a sudden just completely lay an egg. The 49ers, I know, you know, are a much better team than 6-6, but at the end of the day, they were maybe 4-whatever.
Yeah, they were struggling.
They were struggling when the Rams came into town, and trust me, I know. I was flapping my gums all week about the Rams going in there and absolutely mulching the 49ers. And I guess that goes to show what we're talking about. I thought that the lock of my life, I would have, if I had a house of my own, I would have placed it on the Rams to beat the 49ers. There was not a doubt in my mind the way the Rams were playing and the way the 49ers were playing. For the Rams to go in there, crap the bed, and the 49ers to beat the living crap out of them and go running all over that big blockbuster defense. And, I mean, the thing is that you have these players. You have a Von Miller.
And running on him, Robert too, Quinn's, with like Deebo Samuel.
You know, Robert Quinn's no whatever fraud either, but you know that Aaron Donald's going to be triple team going into the game. You know, mm-hmm. there's going to be extra blockers on him, which you would think then Von Miller would be like a pig in shit because he's been that guy on the Broncos. So now he has an opportunity to be making plays and has been completely a ghost on the Rams. Robert Quinn makes plays, but not as much as you would expect. And then also, as you mentioned, they are razor thin across the whole board. You have who the hell? What's his name? Van Jefferson.
He's actually been playing okay.
He's been playing okay, yeah. But you know, that's when you have a guy Van Jefferson that you've never heard of, and you're supposed to be this. And they, just because they've just
well, Robert Woods really hurt him there. Even though they got OBJ, I mean, Robert Woods is a very good player.
And
he does a lot of things too. So
and they were talking about that.
Luckily, still have Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, but this past week they were talking about it. It's like having if someone said it really put it best. When you had Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, it was like having three quarterbacks on the field because they all understand the offense so well. And Van Jefferson did have a very good game, but you're having these people who, you know, him and Odell Beckham Jr., who probably – Odell Beckham Jr. just joined the team. And Van Jefferson, who probably has had very few first-team reps, all of a sudden being tossed in there, is not a good thing. And not to mention, like you said – Matt Stafford will have good games, will make good throws. All of a sudden, the next game, he'll make throws where you're like, what the hell were you doing?
Throw a pick six, like, on his own end zone.
He was chilling, having Gatorade on the sideline in the end of the third quarter against the Giants, and then all of a sudden, he's trying to throw garbage time touchdowns against a division rival. So, very confusing.
They definitely have high peaks and steep valleys, for sure, that team.
Same thing with the next team, the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. The 49ers were looking really good for a few weeks and then go in and lose a terrible game against the Seahawks.
They got swept by the Seahawks now. They just have some of those division games, man. Some people just have your number. They should have won that game. They turned it over so much. And if you're going to turn over the ball, it kills them. I mean, they're a playoff team. They should be. They could make it. And then they could make some noise, but I think this is Jimmy G's last year with them because he's just not good enough. He's going to keep him at this level of 500, 10-7, whatever. But if everything doesn't go perfect for him, if the defense isn't playing lights out, if whatever, the line's doing well, it's just not going to work. If anything has to be put on his shoulders, forget it.
You think Aaron Rodgers, 49ers?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. Personally, but if he does, that's a no-brainer to me. Why wouldn't you go to a team like that who's ready to win, like Brady went to the Bucs? They're ready to win right now.
And I think that Kyle Shanahan is looking back and going, damn, because Tom Brady wanted to go and play for the 49ers.
I heard, yeah.
And he didn't want him on the team. So I could see him being like, shit, I missed the opportunity with Tom Brady, who now just won a Super Bowl his first year in Tampa Bay. And now I have another Hall of Fame quarterback falling into potentially going into free agency. I can't screw up again. Maybe even if – or he has a one – this is his last year of his contract, correct, Aaron Rodgers?
I think he's got an opt-out or something that he's basically got control.
I was going to say maybe even a trade, a swap of Jimmy G to the Packers and then Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco. Who knows? But
And then they have Trey Lance.
Trey Lance. I have on my fantasy team for a keeper next year, so maybe it'll pan out.
Yeah.
I think Fred Warner was out last week too, right?
I'm not sure. He could have been.
I think he's been banged up. They've been banged up.
Bosa's been playing great.
They've been banged up as a collect, the 49ers. So I think if they get healthy towards the end of the year, I could see them maybe, you know, and if they have the right team fall to them in the wild card round, who knows? But, you know, they're only a few years out from going to the Super Bowl. So we'll see how it pans out. I agree with you. I don't think Jimmy G's the guy. I think they're a very good team. A lot of injuries, a lot of tough game, tough losses, you know. Last week, I think the deciding touchdown was that fake punt.
Jimmy G turned it over to and gave the Seattle a great opportunity. When they got Seattle to turn over, Jimmy G gave it right back on the safety.
Yep.
So it's just it's just a tough scene for them because that was a game they really needed to have because now they're right back in the middle with everyone in the playoff race. They could have been in a leg up on the Vikings who choked, the Eagles who choked the week prior, and the football team's coming in strong, man. The Eagles are going to hang around there, and they still got games against the Bengals, Titans, and Rams on the schedule, so they're going to have to win one or two of those games. It's going to be a tough sledding for San Fran.
Yep, and then the Seahawks, who I'm just in –
Russell Wilson could be on the move. We'll see what happens next offseason. We'll see how they finish, too. They could finish strong. I think their playoff hopes are – well, they're not done because they're only two games back, and they have the tiebreaker against Seattle. Against San Francisco.
I'm not convinced on them.
Their defense isn't good.
Jamal Adams is done for the year.
He's
a good player, but he wasn't
– I feel like Russ is – he's good, but he's kind of looked suspect.
DK Metcalf has been incognito this year.
Their run game hasn't been good until this week, really, where they finally got rid of Alex Collins, who's been a disaster, filling in for Chris Carson.
I could see the end of this year being a complete, you know, demolition job for the Seahawks. I could see Russell Wilson going. I could see Pete Carroll going.
Tough. We say that now, but I'm looking at their schedule. The hardest game they have left is against the Rams. And if the Rams have a bad day, they play the Texans, who they should beat, the Bears at home, who they should probably beat, they host the Lions, who they should beat, and then they play the Cardinals last week of the year, who might not be playing for anything. So they can easily sweep the season, next thing you know, 9-8, and they're a wild card. So we can say that they could at least get 8 wins, and then...
But they could get 8 wins, but my thing is that I don't know if I'm necessarily... I wouldn't be... very rah-rah for them in the postseason. I don't think they're necessarily a great football team. Good for them for winning out. Even if they made the playoffs, I think that there's a lot of... like I think the Cardinals are a much better football team than them now. I think the Rams are a much better football team than them now. I think the 49ers are a much better football team than them now. So they could be as good as they want, but they're always going to be perennially stuck underneath all those teams, barring either a massive... swing of I don't even know what. They traded away their draft pick this year for Jamal Adams, who is now not going to help them down the stretch.
Yeah, that kills
so
them.
it's going to be a you know, they're not going to be able to do much in the offseason, so they might... it's going to be interesting to see how, depending on where they finish in the season, especially because then they'll end up especially with the Seahawks fans seeing who they potentially could have had fall to them, that the Jets are now going to have. Yeah. So that's going to be...
That could be a tough scene.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough scene. And then in the NFC North, it's really just Packers.
Packers, yeah.
Vikings, it's a shame.
They always choke away games they should win. They're a good team. Their defense is really banged up, and I don't think like Hunter's out for the year, so they've lost a lot of pieces, and I don't think they're very good to begin with on defense. Kirk has been playing well, but sometimes he just doesn't show up. So it's a tough loss for them. Obviously, they're still hanging around, but
consistently gets banged up.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, that's a team where I don't know how much better they can get. They're going to be around this 500 mark every year, I feel like.
Chicago's terrible.
And, like, what do you do? I don't think Mike Zimmer's a bad coach.
I don't think he's a bad coach either. He's like the Broncos.
Yeah.
And the Chargers a couple years ago. Well, I know you were all out on Anthony Lynn.
Oh, yeah. He's terrible.
It was just the matter of those couple games that they those few games that they just had on a knife's edge that just slipped away. They had the Ravens dead to rights. They should have beat the Lions. All of a sudden, instead of 5-7, they're 7-5. There's a couple other games they should have won. So, you know, they're a 5-7 team. They're not a 5-7. They don't play like a 5-7 team, but they are a 5-7 team at the end of the day. I don't think it's coaching. I think it's just, you know, something like you don't have a playmaking quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a good, consistent quarterback. He's not an exceptional quarterback. He's not a guy that's going to go and win you a game in the fourth quarter.
I think he's a good game
manager.
He also has some good pieces. I mean, I put him up there. I think he's definitely better than Jimmy G. But he's kind of in the same ballpark with Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield. Like, all those guys are kind of like the same people.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think Kirk's a little better, though, because I do think he doesn't turn over as much either.
That's what I was, he's smarter. He's a smarter quarterback than them. He doesn't have the flash and pizzazz. Not that Jimmy G has it either, but like Baker Mayfield, everyone always talks about moving around and everything. If you're in the lead, he could consistently have it or do it or whatever, manage the game. But it's a shame because you have two of the best wide receivers in the NFL and you don't really – it's nothing really crazy. They could use a tight end. They have one of the best running backs in football. They have a lot of really good defensive pieces. You know, they're getting up there in age, their corners, safeties, et cetera.
Yeah.
The whole defense is basically old. And then they have two of the better linebackers in the NFL as well. It's just a shame because, you know, they could be in playoff contention or in the playoffs straight out right now. But, you know, just isn't their season. Bears are terrible. I think Matt Nagy should have been fired.
The GM should have been fired. So.
I think it's because
it's a disaster.
I think once one goes, the other's gone too.
Yeah.
Well,
usually you see the GM fire the coach, and then they get like another year or two to bring someone in, and then they're gone if it doesn't work out. But yeah. I mean, to be honest, that guy's made so many bad decisions. From a front office standpoint, and now Nagy's just terrible. It's just an absolute
disaster. I don't even
think
it was necessary.
When have they been relevant?
You know, everyone was putting the blame on Mitch Trubisky sucking the past few years, and now you have Justin Fields, who looks very good but is constrained
by Matt Nagy. Yeah.
And you wonder if they even needed to get Justin Fields. Maybe if it was the coaching, if they had a better coach, Mitch Trubisky could still be on the Bears right now. I don't think he's by any stretch of the imagination, a QB1 on any other team in the NFL, but I don't think it necessarily was all his fault. I think Matt Nagy is just a fraud coach and a weirdo.
Yeah, he's
done. Who's not going to be there next year. So we'll see, because they have one of the better defenses in the NFL. They have
now it's all banged up, but they definitely Roquan Smith's probably the best linebacker.
Yeah,
obviously
he's
Khalil
all over
Mack
the field. He's in on everything. Yeah. You have Khalil Mack, obviously.
Akeem Hicks, the great defensive tackle they have.
Just everywhere. They have, everywhere you look on that defense, they have a lot of good players. It's just a matter of their coaching. You know, they've let up less points than the Vikings defense, who we always say the Vikings defense is pretty good. You know, it's just a matter of their offense. Their offense has only scored 200 points this year, which is, I'll put it this way, they've scored less touchdowns than the Lions.
Yeah.
And so
that's a tough scene.
He's going to be gone, Matt Nagy, next year. Maybe, hopefully, they'll sack up and fire the GM too and bring in some fresh perspective. They have a good quarterback. Their running backs are good. They have decent receivers. It's just a matter of getting the right person to lead that team. Lions, congratulations on getting your one win. I knew you were going to get it eventually.
Yeah, let's go.
Terrible organization as well. And then you have the NFC South, Buccaneers wagon. Same exact team as last year. They had a couple hiccups. I think it's just a matter of the season. I don't think necessarily they're, you know, anything to worry about with the Buccaneers. I mean, for Christ's sake, they're 9-3 and have a guy who's on his 22nd season and playing just as good as he was 10 years ago in his 12th season, which is still crazy that the 12 seasons, now he's at 22. Their defense is sick. They have two of the best linebackers in the NFL as well, and Devin White and what's his name?
Devontae David. Yeah.
Then obviously their D line's really stacked. Everywhere they have a lot of young DBs who are finally starting to, I feel like, kind of understand the pace of the NFL a little bit more. I believe they're hurt, banged up a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean they're starting to get healthier. Their DBs are still banged up, but a lot of their guys have started to come back. So that's a big thing. I mean, they struggled for a bit with a lot of injuries, and obviously their defense was hurt because of that. But, yeah, I mean, they're still going to keep chugging along. They're going to be a team there that's near the end, and I don't know. I mean, right now the favorite's got to be – and actually, I'll double-check. It's got to be them and probably Green Bay, I would think, right? And
then Green Bay loves losing.
And even though Arizona's having such a great year, I think people are hesitant to bet on them. So, yeah, it's Tampa, Arizona, and Green Bay. So those are the top dogs. Obviously, people are going to expect and favor Tampa because their team's loaded. Playoff Lenny's playing outstanding this year. Yeah, I mean, him and obviously Jonathan Taylor's playing great, but if he has a great finish this year, he could be the top running back of the whole season in the NFL at his age. I mean, he was basically given away. He was cut. Like, he's washed like Adrian Peterson or something.
Now he's killing. He's only, like 26, 27?
For a running back, that's old, though. But, like, he was cut and thrown a curb, man.
But, like, it isn't like he had – it wasn't like his body took much of a beating on the Jaguars. They were never on the field. They were so bad. So it wasn't like they had these long seasons. He had his first year, I think, when they
They would definitely run him – as much as they can. But, I mean, he was tough, too.
Four downs, then he'd be off the field.
He would get hurt. He would get hurt a lot, too. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, it's been crazy how he's kind of resurrected his career alongside Tom Brady and the Bucs that are already loaded. We'll see. I mean, Bucs got a big game against the Bills this week as they try and keep pace for the one seed. And then they got the Saints, so they need some revenge on. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, the Saints have been able to play great defense against them regardless of who's starting at quarterback, so that should be interesting.
The Saints were running the Navy offense before the Patriots were this past week against the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football when whatchamacallit hurt his hand, Taysom Hill. He had like 100 something rushing yards, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was terrible, honestly.
I know he was terrible, but I'm saying that they were running
it
the
also
ball
didn't
lot.
Help. I mean, now they get Kamara back this week and they play the Jets, so that's kind of a feel good thing. I mean, they're hanging in there too with the playoff race. I don't think they're going to do it, but
the Saints?
Yeah, because if you look at the playoff race, 6-6 is the last spot, so they're a game back.
6-6 will do it. The Panthers, I think, just completely phoned it in when they got rid of Joe Brady. That was pretty,
that was odd.
That was
in the middle of
a
bye too.
That was a head scratch. They got rid of him in the middle of a bye, and it isn't like.
What do you want him to do? Look at the quarterbacks you're putting in front of him.
It's a shame because this is only his second year?
I don't even think it was phoned it in. I think that's their way of blaming him for how bad the offense has been. But it's like, I mean, you give him Teddy Bridgewater, who obviously isn't looking good in Denver either. And then you give him Sam Darnold, who's never looked good in his whole career. And you give him Cam Newton, who's completely washed.
There's a few decent quarterbacks coming up in this draft. It's a shame they didn't at least give him to next season to get a, because Sam Darnold's only a 1-year contract, a 2-year contract.
They they picked up his option, so they have to have him for next year, and he's getting paid a lot of money. But, I mean, after what I've seen, how do you not draft a quarterback?
That's what I mean. So you could have given him one more year. He clearly, he's a national
champ. Who, Darnold?
No, Joe Brady.
Oh, yeah. They should have given him one more year. I don't know.
A quarterback, a chance to, you know, coach the guy up a little bit. They had Joe Burrow. He had Joe Burrow when he was, you know, had like his, like one of the best QB seasons in college football history. When they won the national championship that year against Clemson, who was one of the best.
It's crazy too. He went from being a potential he went from being a potential head coach to
fired.
I don't even know what team he's gonna be on now. Like
Oklahoma with
maybe wherever Coach O goes. Wherever Coach O goes now, he'll join him back up.
I think he should get another job because
definitely.
I think he deserves a chance because I don't think that was fair. Granted, Matt Rhule, you know, he might have a vision of where he sees the team going that we don't understand. I don't think that was the right move. I think that if he had a quarterback that wasn't Sam Darnold, he would have been all right because they have a lot of offensive weapons. It also doesn't help that Christian McCaffrey plays like two games a year. He's starting to fall into my J.J. Watt list and Joel Embiid list where these people are talked about so much and they play like 25% of the games in the season. They have moments where they look like a good team. The Panthers, obviously, I don't even want. That time's gone, and I don't. You know, they're not going to make the playoffs. You know, call a spade a spade. And then the Falcons had a stretch there where you were starting to go, huh?
I think Matt Ryan's washed. Pretty
who's
obvious
who's
at this
backup,
point.
Felipe France?
No, they're going to have to draft someone too.
God. I mean, hey, they'll have a pretty solid pick. They'll have a chance to get one of the top quarterbacks. I don't know if there's anyone coming into the draft this year that I'm necessarily going, this guy is a franchise quarterback. You know, there isn't like a Trevor Lawrence or a Joe Burrow. Where you're like, well, you have to get him. And, you know, Joe Burrow.
But maybe that's a good thing. I mean, you never know. You never had to get Dak, and he turned out pretty well in some of these top guys.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. It might be better just to kind of
be in the middle.
Come up from the shadows. Yeah. And be like, all right, this guy was pretty good on his football team, and he understands the game. Let's bring him in.
Mm-hmm. And Atlanta, they obviously have some pieces. Pitts looks good, especially. It's tough for him because he's like the focal point of the offense now, so people will game against him. Patterson's look great, and they've totally revived his career.
And it's a shame, though, because he's, what, 30?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's been run to the ground, that's for sure, because he hasn't played
that
much.
He's a wide receiver for most of
his. Wide receiver, I barely played. He played most snaps on special teams, so he definitely probably has a lot left in the gas tank. And then, unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen with Calvin Ridley, but you'd hope to assume that he comes back next year. So they definitely have some nice pieces on offense to work with a young QB. Matt Ryan's contract isn't good, so they probably have to keep him for one more year, but could certainly draft a QB.
Then their defense has a lot of
That's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, they have a lot of work cut out for them, but they have decent framework.
I mean, Terrell's been great. The DB they drafted last year, I believe, he's been great for them. So at least they have a starting point.
And at least Arthur Smith seems like he knows somewhat what he's doing. They aren't like they were last year, complete trash.
Yeah.
There's some direction.
They're beating the teams they should, and then the teams they shouldn't, for the most part, they get blown out. So
they had a pretty good game against the Buccaneers last week.
Yeah, they do play their division tough. They're going to hang around. I don't think they'll probably end up whatever.
All right, so then
the Lions.
To finish things up here, the framework as is right now with the playoff picture, who are your top three favorite teams in each conference, and how do you think they're going to pan out in the playoffs? So I'll go first with the AFC. Obviously, number one team that is on my favorites list is the Patriots. I think the Patriots might go – how many weeks are left? Like five? Four?
Five. Because they had an extra week this year.
I think they could end up 14-4.
The Patriots have a bye this week, so
13
and 4.
I can see them going 13
bad.
And 4, especially coming off of a bye. I can see them finishing out the season strong, securing that one seed. So that's my number one favorite team. Number two is the Chiefs, obviously. I think they're going to end up – I think they're still going to – I don't think they're necessarily my favorite anymore in the AFC. I think they're certainly going to make it to the playoffs and get at least to the semi – like the conference semifinals. And then my third team, I think, still is the Bills. Just because I'm not sold on anyone in the AFC North because of how inconsistent it's been. I'm not – the Chargers have been extremely inconsistent. The AFC South is extremely inconsistent. The Bills have had a lot of – had a few games this year where you're like, what the hell was that? A tough loss against the – whatchamacallit, the Titans.
Yeah.
Rough first week loss to the Steelers. So my three favorites are the Patriots, Bills, and Chiefs. I think Patriots make it to the Super Bowl for superior coaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I think how can you not say Patriots at this point? They've been the hottest team in the NFL. They certainly have some big games left on the schedule, so maybe a team can expose them as they head into the playoffs. But if the Super Bowl, I mean, the path to the Super Bowl has to go through New England, that's going to be really tough for these teams to beat them there. Kansas City still scares me. I mean, the defense is playing great. The offense has not clicked all year. And a game against the Raiders definitely will help that. So maybe that'll jumpstart some things for them. But my other two teams for now, I'm going to go Chargers. I think they're a good team. When Herbert turns it over less, their percentages of winning the game just goes way up. So if they could kind of tone down his turnovers and the defense can continue to play better against the run, I think they have a real shot to win the division and make a run in the playoffs. And I think the Colts, if they can hang on and go and get that last wild card spot, I mean, they could be, who knows, they could play the Titans again. I don't think they lose three times to the Titans. So
I agree.
They can certainly make a run as well. And they're going to be a tough out for anyone because they play good defense. And the run game travels no matter where you play.
They would just have to steal. They'd have to steal a game.
They would steal. I mean, if they play the AFC North champ, they can win that game. If they play the Titans again, they can win that game.
I'm not talking about in the play. I'm talking about just straight up in the rest of the season, the Colts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they could beat. I forget who the other two teams that they play. But they have to beat either the Patriots.
They have to win one of those.
And they have to win the other couple games.
Because then they have the Raiders, who they should win. If they don't take care of business there, they obviously should be out of the playoffs. And then Jaguars to end the season.
Yeah, and I think that the Titans, like you said, have been. I think they'll make the playoffs, actually, the Titans. But I think that the Colts should be able to sneak up the ladder. So who do you like coming out of the conference? Would you agree with me, the Patriots?
I don't know. I'm going to say no. I mean, the Patriots are playing great, but I just think unless they win out, like, I just think a lot of people are hyping them up, and rightfully so, but I just don't know if this is the year they make that championship run. Thing is, I don't know who knocks them off, but who knows? I mean, it could be the Colts. I think they play Buffalo again in 2 weeks, so we'll see what Buffalo can do. Because Buffalo can still obviously win the division. If they beat the Patriots, they can still own the tiebreaker as well, because the Patriots lost to Miami earlier in the year. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think you got to go probably top dogs got to be Kansas City if they can hold on and win the division. If not, I mean, AFC is going to be great because it's up for grabs. I like those wild card teams right now. I like the Chargers. I like the Colts. I like Buffalo as well, and right now none of those teams are hosting, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think the Chargers are too young to end up making the Super Bowl, but like, who, if it's not the Patriots, I mean, everyone else is kind of in the same boat. I don't know. If I had to throw some money, I think I'd throw a little on the Chargers right now, but it's going to be interesting. I really don't know.
Yeah. And then on the other side, for me, NFC Buccaneers would be the number one team for me, between experience, young talent, and coaching, and obviously Tom Brady. The next team, the Packers. When the Packers are healthy, they're ridiculously good. Receiving's a little inconsistent, but I really like Matt LaFleur. Their defensive line has been doing pretty good getting pressure this season. And then Aaron Rodgers, obviously making the plays he needs. Then also just the aspect when you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, there could be 10 seconds left in the game and you have the ball on your own 20 and you still can't count him out. And then the last team, surprisingly, after I just was trashing them before, I think the Rams might be my third team, solely because I think Sean McVay, not that necessarily that his job is at any stretch of the imagination at risk, but that'll be a really bad look on his part if he has all of these blockbuster players on his team and he doesn't get anywhere near the NFC Championship. If he, you know, if he, whether it's, I don't think they'll miss out on the playoffs, but if they lost in the wild card round, I think that'd be a really bad look for them. You know, everyone talking about how the NFL's offenses now are based off of his concepts and, you know, having trading all of these first round picks away for Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller. You have Aaron Donald on your defense, who's like one of the best defensive players of the past decade. Then you have Matt Stafford, who you traded all these picks away for. Odell Beckham Jr., I think you just signed anyway, but you know, you have all of these pieces. I think you need to make something happen, so that's why that would be my third team. Then I think that the Buccaneers would get through if they play the Rams. You know, I think that the Buccaneers probably, I don't know, I feel like the Rams sometimes,
didn't the Rams blow them out already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could beat them Tom Brady easily twice in a season. And when they have when their defense is really healthy.
And it will be in Tampa in the postseason. You know they'll be rocking.
And they're undefeated at home this year. And then also the Packers just love losing in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, they are.
So you can't deduct that from when you're comparing these teams.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I would have to think, like, I got to go. I don't want to do Green Bay because I know they choke every year, but I feel like if they end up, I mean, Arizona could easily drop a game. If the path is through Lambeau, like, that's going to be tough. So I would watch out for Green Bay. They're definitely on my short list. I mean, they're the two seed, so they're obviously not being ignored. But I think a lot of people are just going to be like, I've watched this over and over again. They lose every NFC Championship game, regardless of where it is. I just think this year might be a bit different, depending on who they have to match up against. And if they get the one seed, I think the NFC is going to be in trouble. Obviously, you have Tampa, their wagon. They're going to be okay. They'll be there till the end. Now, that definitely matters because the seeding as far as that goes, because I don't think they want to go to have to beat Green Bay and Lambeau again. I really think they want to host this time around. Right now, they're the three seed. They do not have the tiebreaker, so they're going to need some help there. I really don't think the wildcard teams are going to make some noise. I think Washington over the Rams would have a better chance. I think the Rams are a team they could maybe win a playoff game, and then they're just going to lose. I don't think they're – or they could just lose the first game. I don't think they're built for a deep playoff run. They certainly have all the names and everything, but I just don't think they're there yet. Although they might get Cam Akers back, so that'll probably help a bit. But I think Henderson's been playing really well, so I don't know if that's really much of a difference there.
I don't think that's
there.
The issue. I think their issue is they're so thin.
Yeah, and Matt Stafford. Sometimes he just has a bad game. And he hasn't had – he played, what, one playoff game his whole career?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's a savvy vet who's ready for the playoff stage. So you don't know how he's going to react on the road.
That's why I'm out on the Cardinals, because I just have this weird feeling that Kyler Murray wouldn't necessarily play well under the pressure of a playoff game, you know, in Tampa Bay in January.
Well, that's why I do think the one seed would be huge, because I don't think they want to go to any of those places.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they fell down a little bit, you'd go from playing in, you know, consistently 90-degree Phoenix or wherever the hell it is, Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to go fly all the way up to, the tundra of Green Bay, where it could potentially be like 6 inches of snow the day before or during the game. So that's why I didn't pick them. You could then make that argument with the Rams, but the difference is that Matt Stafford played up in the Midwest.
He played in a dome, dude.
I know, but he was up in Minnesota and Green Bay. But he played in Chicago and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Minnesota until they had that stadium. They played in the Minnesota College Football Stadium a couple of years.
But I do think I would probably go 2 through 4. I think Green Bay, Tampa, and Dallas would be my teams. Dallas defense, like I said, they're playing really well. Very unexpected. Dan Quinn's been doing a great job with that unit. I think they'll continue to do pretty well. And I think some of these matchups might be beneficial to them in the playoffs. The only thing that scares me is Dak going to be right? Is that offense going to be clicking? Because since that calf injury, I mean, the numbers are night and day. So obviously you've had issues like Cooper has COVID 1 week. They both, Cooper and Lamb, miss a week because he has concussion. So you've had those kind of issues kind of derail the offense. But I think the next couple weeks will go a long way to tell, like, are the Cowboys legit or not? Because if they don't start clicking on offense, regardless of how good the defense plays, they're not going to go very far. Now, if they do, they can win. They can win the NFC.
Right. So we'll just have to wait and see. And who knows? In a couple of weeks, we'll run back a playoff podcast, perhaps. So I don't want to give too much away with how I'm feeling going down the stretch. Even though I did say I like the the Buccaneers and Patriots, but you know, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I
Tom
mean
Tom Brady could snap his leg in half, and
oh,
it's...
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Jeez.
I'm not saying I hope it happens. I'm saying it could happen.
I think Buccaneers and Patriots would be absolutely insane.
I think they said there was, what, like a 30% chance of that?
I mean, they're
the
probably the two... Well, no, Kansas City. So right now it's Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Patriots, Cardinals. Those are the top four favorites right now. So it's certainly a great chance to happen, and it's an even better chance of Patriots... narrow down and secure that one seed.
Yeah, but all right, till then, thank you, Matt, for coming on. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me,
and thank you all for listening. Have a good one.